Hello and welcome to the Endurance Glow podcast. My name is Benitria. I don't know if this is episode 1 or 10. I'm not sure. I've been trying to record a podcast since January or February of this year, but it is now September and I'm going to go ahead and just do this podcast because it's something that I want to do. I love to talk about Jesus, and I realized that, like, a lot of people do not want to hear, like, when I'm trying to talk. Like, my mom and my sisters, they're very engaged, like, when I speak about Jesus. But, like, anybody other than them, like, when I try to speak to them, they're trying to, like, hurry up and brush the conversation off. And it's like, I've learned so much, and I got a lot more to learn, but it's just like, I want to share the knowledge that I have learned, you know, because if someone had told me all these things when I was 16, you know, 15, suffering from like severe, oh my God, how do I say the word? Suffering from severe depression, I just kind of feel like my life would have been different. But then on the other hand, I'm like, it was certain things that I went through, a lot of things I put on myself, but a lot of things, you know, I had to go through it. And I'm coming out on the other side with a testimony, and all glory and honor, you know, belongs to God because he is just so amazing. You know, he is willing to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think of, according to the power that works within me. God, I'm just so grateful and thankful for you. And I just love you. And I just ask that you just bless everyone that is listening to this podcast right now. Give them the desires of their heart. Let them know the will that you have for their lives, Father God. And we just ask that you just bless all of us. Just keep us, continue to protect us, Father God. Guaranteed protection. And that's one of the main, not main reasons, but that is just such a big thing. Like, it's like just guaranteed protection, God. And I just thank you for that. Amen, amen. So, anyways, like I was saying, this might be podcast 1 or 2, 12, I don't know. But I'm going to go ahead and just do this and I'm going to upload it because I've been wasting time. But anyways, I just want to talk about like just giving God your yes. Like, and what does that mean? Like just really being like, all right, God, what's up? Like, what do I have to do? What do I need to do? Like, this is all yours. I'm putting it on the table. Like, wherever you tell me to go is where I'm going to go. You know how you go to that job and you cannot just do what you want to do. You have to do everything the way that the job wants you to do it. Why? Because you want that paycheck at the end of the week or whenever you want the paycheck. Same with God. We want to get into heaven. Like, when this life is over, I want to get into heaven. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I want to do everything that God wants me to do. Not only that, like, when I give God my yes, that means that other people are going to be helped in the process because God is not just about doing things for just you. Like, he's blessing you. He's downloading in you to be a blessing to other people. Like, whatever God gives you, especially like if he gives you a gift or something like that, the gift is not for you. It's for the people around you. It's for the people that you encounter. But anyways, I would say I'm going to just start off like how I gave God my yes. I experienced something like super traumatic. I lost my baby brother suddenly. And it was the worst year of my life, but I'm not even gonna get into details on that. I'll talk about that in grief in another episode. But I believe it was like the end of 2021. I just started, and I was a heavy drinker. Like, I used to smoke marijuana. Like, if I did not smoke that day, I would not eat that day. Like, I was bad. I had to have weed. And then I realized that I had made weed an idol. And I promised God that I wouldn't smoke any weed no more because I had made weed an idol. That's a partial reason, but it was another reason, but I'm going to keep that to myself. But as soon as I dropped weed, I picked up alcohol and I was like such a heavy drinker. Then after my brother died, I kind of switched from alcohol to, well, I switched from, you know, the liquor, the hard liquor to wine. I would drink a whole bottle a night. Like, sometimes I would even buy two bottles or, like, the big, big bottle. And I wouldn't finish, like, the big, big bottle in one night. But I would, like, it would be to where, like, girl, you got to go get you another bottle when you get off because that one almost gone. Like, it was bad. But I remember at the end of 2021, maybe, like, you know, 4 or 5 months after my brother died, I just started to talk to God. And I was just like, you know, what is happening? Because I need you to help me. I don't know what's going on in my mind. I don't know what's going on in my head, but either you come help me or I'm going to do something. And it wasn't, I had made up in my mind that I was going to get the people who did this to my brother. Like, I made up in my mind, like, yeah, I'm getting them. And I was battling with myself because I was like, I don't want my mom to have to lose another child to whatever or I don't want my mom to have to lose another child to death or to the system. But it was just like, I didn't care because I'm like, I want to get them. But it was just like the pain that I know that my mama felt, you know, just seeing her. So I was battling with that, and I would just tell God, like, I need you to help me because I don't care about me, but I need you to help me because I'm going to make a bad decision. And all of a sudden, like, at this time, I would still get drunk. Even though I was drinking wine heavy, like, on the weekends, I would drink, you know, liquor. And I would be sloppy drunk. But all of a sudden, I just had this desire to pray. And I was never a prayer. Like, I would pray a prayer before I went to sleep, like a small, tiny prayer when I remembered. And it, you know, that was that. I would sometimes, like, God, please do this. But it was never, like, more than, like, a 1 minute prayer, honestly. And so I remember all of a sudden I just had this desire to pray. So here I am, sloppy drunk, and I am literally praying. Like, I'm praying. And I started to pray because one day I was on, you know, my feed page on YouTube and this video popped up and I, you know, it was interesting. So I watched the video. The video was like 2 hours maybe, but I watched the whole thing and it was very knowledgeable. And I was like, oh my God, what this man is saying is every single thing that I have experienced. Shout out to Kenna L.A. Owen. But anyways, I was like, everything that this man is saying, I have experienced. So anyways, I believe it was maybe, I don't know. Anyways, in 2021, I started to pray and that was the beginning. It was just like something had initiated, like something was lit in the inside of me. And after that, I kind of, you know, I slowly came to Christ. So like, but by mid-2022, I was serious about God. Like, I had really surrendered my life to God. Like, it was like, I couldn't even, like, drink no more. Like, I wanted to, like, drink, but I didn't have that desire to, like, drink. And so that was amazing to me because I was like, wow, I really don't even have that desire. And trust me, before that, I had the desire to drink all the time. But anyways, though, so towards the end of 2022, mid-22, end-22, I, you know, really gave my life to God. But, you know, I would struggle, you know, with my Christianity. I would struggle because it was a lot of things that I didn't understand. Of course, I'm like barely 1 year in the game of really, you know, giving my life over to God. But it was so many things that I was missing. And I was just like talking to God. I'm like, all right, God, like, I understand. A scripture that held me over was, after you suffered a little while, God is going to strengthen you, support you, place you on the firm foundation. That is a scripture that held me over because I was like, okay, God, like, don't get me wrong. I didn't come to you because I want you to bless me. I came to you because I needed help. I needed help mentally. Like, I was strongly battling, like, murder, and I needed his help, you know, and that's why I came to him. But it was like, I hear all these things about how you're blessing these people. And God, here I am still broke, busted, and disgusted. And it's just not sitting right with me, you know. And I'm like, I'm fasting, I'm praying. What, you know, what is going on? What is happening? And so I kind of got angry with God. So like 2023, the beginning of 23, God told me to go on a 60-day fast. I did not go on that fast. And right after he told me to go on that fast, I didn't go on it. I kept pushing it off, never went on it. I experienced like a dry. I don't know. I was not able to talk to God. It just, like, when I would go in my prayer closet, it was just dry. It was empty. Like, it's like his presence just was not there. And I just really battled. And I ended up backsliding bad in 2023. I was backsliding. And it was so hard to climb my way out of that. And it took a dream for me to have a dream in maybe October or November. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I was still talking to God every day. But from the place that I was completely different. Like, I was for sure that I had lost the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm like, I can't even speak in tongues. And don't get it twisted. It's not like once saved, always saved. Or once, you know, like once you have the Holy Spirit, you'll always have the Holy Spirit. That's cap. Because do you think the Holy Spirit is going to stay there while you out here doing things that grieves him? Like, be so for real. The Holy Spirit is not about to stay with you while you're out here living for the devil. It's just not happening. Like, let's be realistic, you know. But anyways, so this was, I spilled my water. Excuse me. This is my first podcast that I think I'm going to upload. And so it might be a little bloopers, but excuse me. But anyways, though, so I would say end of 2023, I was backslidden. By this time, I think I went maybe like 3 weeks without praying because I had just moved into my house and I just was like, we'll go to work, come home, whatever. And I just completely, you know, put God on the back burner. He gave me a dream. And this dream was crazy. I don't know what happened. But somehow it was like, y'all know, like a big old axe that you like knock trees down or like chop trees with or whatever. It was an axe. Somebody threw an axe in my neck. And it was like in my neck, stuck in my neck. And I'm trying to get to the hospital. I finally get to the hospital, get on the elevator, and it's a doctor on the elevator. And I'm like, oh, thank you. You know, help me. So he looked at the axe stuck in my neck, and he was just like, nope, can't help you. She gonna die. Like, that's pretty much what he tried to say about me. And I was like, oh, no, that ain't happening. So I remember walking out, getting out the elevator, and it was a mirror, and I was looking in the mirror, and all of a sudden out my mouth, I said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then I woke up. Well, first of all, after I said that, the axe came out of my neck and the wound started to close up. This was in my dream. Then I woke up, and that dream scared me for sure, but it was just like, okay, God is definitely warning me, like, it is attacks all around you, and I have been protecting you, but I need you to get on your stuff. I need you to get the ball going. Stop playing with me. So, anyways, that's when I was like, let me get the ball back going, you know. So, I started to pray again, try to fast. It was kind of hard. Then January, you know, I was like, I started to kind of get back in the groove. And I remember I was talking to God and I told him, I was like, you know, God, I love you. And I love the relationship that we have to the point where I'm willing to not ask you anything else. I'm willing to not ask you for anything. Because it was like the stuff that I would ask him, it wasn't happening. He wasn't budging. It was just like, you know, and I was trying to hold on to the faith, trying to keep the faith. But it's just like, and then it's not even like, oh, he had to answer it immediately, but it was just like, I wasn't getting no type of, oh, this, you know, no type of anything. I wasn't getting anything from him, from the stuff that I was like asking him in prayer. And I was, in my mind, I'm like, God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm not asking you for $1 million. You know, I'm just asking for basic things that I need to survive out here, you know, and plus a little extra. But, and not saying like that, basic things that I need to survive, because God, ever since I gave my life to God, though, like I said, my finances haven't been the best, but I've never struggled. Like, God has always made a way, and I just thank him for that. But anyways, though, I was talking to God, and I was just like, I'm willing to not ask you anything else. I said, I'm not going to ask you for anything else because I don't want to be disappointed in our relationship. I do not want to bring disappointment into our relationship. So I'm willing to, you know, not ask you anything else. And as soon as I said that, he told me, he was like, now you finally got it. And he gave me a vision of like a tree being pulled out from its roots. And it was almost like you finally got the last thing. Like you finally got what I've been trying to tell you. Like, yeah, we've been repairing you. We've been, you know, fixing you. We've been performing heart surgery, but now you finally got it. Because this is what you was not understanding. Like when you decided to actually say, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you give over your life. You participate in the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your life is not your own anymore. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. That's why you participated in the death and the resurrection. And so he was letting me know at that point, when you decided to do all of these things, you decided to give me your life. Therefore, you put down your will. You put down everything else that you wanted in life. What you wanted does not matter. And another thing I just want to point out is that when I would always say, you say, you know, God, please give me the desires of my heart. That's what you said. That's what you said. He does say that. But it's not like the desires that I have. No, it's God will literally put the desires in your heart. And that is according to his will. And so God was letting me know, like, this, I give you free will, but this is what you have decided. You decided to be one of mine. You decided to be my child. You decided to let me be Lord over you. So I need you to do what I'm asking you to do. And so it was kind of like, when Jesus says, you know, you have to put down your cross. I mean, excuse me, you have to die to self and you have to pick up your cross. He said, you got to put away your old ways and you got to pick up your cross. Because first of all, what exactly does like picking up your cross mean? That means you are saying goodbye to your old life. You're saying goodbye to your desires. Not even like, it's one thing to say, okay, God, I know you want me to give up my sins. Yeah. I know you want me to stop living in iniquity. Of course, that's required. I understand that. Even though it's hard, I understand that. But you telling me you want me to give up the good things that I want? You telling me you want me to give up the dream job that I'm going after? You want me to give up this? You want me to give up that? You want me to give up the things that I want, that I'm pursuing, like my goals? You want me to give that up? Now, that's, you asking for a little too much now, because I'm not understanding why you want me to give all these things up. But anyways, though, that's what he wants you to do. You know what I'm saying? So it's not just the sin part. It's everything. You have to give it up. Anyways, I don't know. I forgot like the point that I was making, but I'll get back to my story. So, you know, God was letting me know, like, the woman who you are today is not the woman that I called you to be. And, oh yeah, excuse me. I was talking about picking up the cross. So when you pick up your cross, you think about how Jesus had to pick up his cross. When Jesus was picking up his cross, and Jesus had to carry his cross to his death. Because see, this is the thing. When you pick up your cross, you are on your way to divine destiny. You are now participating in the full will of God when you pick up your cross. So you're participating in divine completeness at this point. Like the will of God is going to finish, because he who has started a good work in you is able to finish it. And that's just what it is. When you ready to pick up your cross, that's what it means. You put down your goals, your sin, your iniquity. You put down everything and you starting fresh. You're like a newborn. That's why it's called to be born again, because everything that you once knew, just take it out your mind. Okay. Because it doesn't matter anymore. You are now born again. You have died and you are new in Christ. So nothing else matter. And another thing, when you truly decide to pick up your cross, you almost have to, it's going to be pain. Okay. Do you think that Jesus was happy when he had to carry that cross, when he had to pick up that cross? He was absolutely not happy. But just to think, what if he didn't pick up his cross? Where would we be, or would we even be, if Jesus had not picked up his cross? So if you haven't picked up your cross, you're not in the will of God. And I know you take it for somebody that's been partying, that's done participated in almost every sin. Not almost every sin, because it's a lot. Now, wait a minute. But you listening to somebody who has had their share. And I'm only 28 years old, and I've definitely had my share of iniquity, okay? And I definitely struggled with, well, God, it's not fair that I have to pray for these people while they are turning up, getting drunk at night. I want to get drunk. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to party. It's not fair. I'm still young. And yet I got to be here praying for them up in the middle of the night while they having fun. Why are they doing this? I want to do that. It's a battle. It's not easy. And a lot of Christians, I'm going to tell you the ones who make it seem like this, a religious Christian person, they will make it seem like when they follow God, it was the best thing. Don't get me wrong. Following God is the best thing. But when you follow God, all hell is going to break loose in your life. And that's just what it is. All hell is going to break loose. But anyways, though, it's just something that you have to battle with. And you're not like, and don't ever feel like, well, when I get older, I give my life to God, or after I finish playing with this sin enough, then I give my life to God. Because you don't know when you're living a life outside of the will of God, you don't know when your last day may be. Because see, God has promised all these good things to the ones who are in his will, to the one who has truly given their life to him. God has promised a long life and all of these things. All of these things are promised to the righteous people. And let's be honest. What is a righteous person? A person who has given their life to God. It's just that simple. It's not like, oh, you got to be holier than that. No, you truly surrendered your life to God. You're considered a righteous, faithful person to God. And it's that simple. But anyways, you never want to wait to pick up your cross. You never want to wait to give God your all. You never want to wait. And it's hard, but do it. You talk to God. God, I'm struggling with this sin. I'm struggling with this. So I'm going to give it to you. Because he says to cast all his cares upon him because he cares. So you're not doing this alone. When you decide to follow Christ, the devil, he will try to make you think that you're in this by yourself. It will be so much going on in your mind. It will be a constant battlefield. And you have to be able to be equipped. You have to be equipped. You have to be able to put on your full armor of God when you are dealing with the enemy. These are things that you have to do. But anyways, when God told me, you know, he told me all these things, like, the woman who you are now is not the woman that I called you to be. I didn't call you to be this woman. I know that you love who you are, but I love you. I love you. And I'm willing to let you, not willing to let you, but I want you to live out the life that I have written down for you. I want you to live out the purpose that I have written down for you. So it was more like at that moment, I was a little sad, you know, because I was like, okay, God, you want me to give up everything. That's going to be a little hard. So I was definitely a little sad, but it was almost like a relief to me. And I remember when my daddy died last year, God had gave me a vision of a house. It was an undone house. And I was like, what does this mean? This was like maybe 3 or 4 days before my dad's funeral. And I'm like, what is an undone house? What does this mean? I don't understand. And when he told me, when he told, like, okay. So I was looking on Google and I was trying to figure out, like, what is an undone house? What is an undone house? And I couldn't find no information. I was like trying to look at, like, what does it mean spiritually? I couldn't find any information, but it was at my dad's funeral. The preacher, he ended up preaching about an undone house.
And he pretty much was saying, like, he had a house that he rented out, and the tenants needed to move out. And they trashed the house because they didn't want to move out. He said that God told him, don't worry about it, because I needed it to be undone so that I can build this house up the way I want it to be built up. And oh my God, like, God is so amazing. I'm like, God, so you really used my daddy's funeral to tell me what this means. God will never leave you hanging, first of all. So it was just so amazing to me. I'm like, oh my God, like, he really just used this man to sit here and tell me what that vision meant. No, that vision had been bothering me for 3-4 days. And he used this man to tell me. I just thought that was so amazing. But anyway, so I got it at that time, but I had to experience a little bit more pain for me to really get it in January. For God to tell me, now you finally got it. Because it's like, I told you this before and it didn't sink in. But now it done sunk in. And God is so amazing. But this is one thing that I just want to say, and I'm going to end the podcast. Well, end this episode. Ooh. But anyway, so this is back to the house. It's almost like, imagine you are this house that has been condemned, honey. I mean, this house is not up for sale. This house cannot be lived in. This house is raggedy and messed up. But it don't look like that. It don't look that way on the outside. On the outside, it looked like, you know, you'll be able to stay up in there. But when you go on the inside of that house, it is terrible. And you have to look at it like this. When they tear that house down, now just imagine that you're this house. When they're tearing this house down, because they're like, because the house has been condemned. So this is unsafe. This house is unsafe. So we can't just remodel it. We have to tear this house down and put a whole new foundation. But imagine if you're this house and they are just bulldozing you. They're just putting everything in you. They're knocking you down. They're knocking down the walls. They're using all these hammers. I don't know the equipments and the tool names. I don't know. But they're using all of this machinery. And just imagine, like, it hurt. It is so painful. I'm getting knocked down and tore up. But see, that's what God does. So when you follow God, when you pick up your cross, you're going to suffer. Did you not think that Jesus suffered? Did you not think? He definitely did. And he was the only one that has ever walked this earth without sin. But yet he suffered and took on everything for us. But anyways, it's going to hurt when God has to break you down. That's why they call him the potter. But anyways, when God breaks you down and they knocking his house down and they got it clean. They did knock the house down and they were moving all residue. They were moving everything up. Now the place is clean and we can start to build a foundation. So when you are ready to pick up your cross, I'm the one to tell you, it ain't going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be, and don't ever get it twisted to think that the devil going to come. If he coming at you harder while you're not saved, he's about to come at you harder. I'm talking about this man, not this man, but this devil is going to try to attack you every which way that he can. But you have to know that when you are in, it don't matter what the situation look like. Because let me tell you something, fear is false evidence appearing real. And faith is oh my God, I'm getting tongue-tied. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. They're literally the opposite definitions of each other. So the fear is going to appear real, while the faith, you have to have that faith. Because the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So even though it's looking like the devil is coming at you all these type of ways, you have to believe that God is lifting up the standard, even though you can't see it. You have to believe that, and you just have to keep in your mind. That's why you keep the word in your mind all the time. God says there's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. And I mean, you say that thing 1,000 times a day if you have to, but you have to stay strong. You in every day, you ain't gonna be strong. I'm gonna tell you that now. But as long as you know by the end of that day that God has you, then you ain't gotta worry about nothing else. So when we pick up our cross, when we decide to give God our yes, know that it comes with guaranteed protection. Know that it comes, first of all, we have God's love even when we're not saved. But when we are saved, we know the love. We can see the love. We can feel the love. See, because a person who don't know how to be loved, they can't feel the love. They can't see it. But now that you in Christ, you can feel that abundance. You can feel it. So anyways, thank y'all for listening to my podcast. You know, whether it's one person or 2 people, 100 people, it don't matter. God is good. And this podcast is going to get to the ears that needs to hear it. This might be my first episode, and please forgive me for the bloopers, the noise. I'm going to get better. I'm going to add video as well. But anyways, all glory, all honor, and all praise belongs to God. And thank you for tuning in to the Endurance Glow.